I think at times all of us just get a little inflated. We think ourselves maybe a little more highly than we ought to, and how important we are. Think somehow if it wasn't for us, the work wouldn't get done. I hate to tell you this, but God really doesn't need us. He is sufficient in and of himself. I'm grateful that he wants us, grateful that he chose us, but he doesn't really need us. If we didn't praise him, he can make the rocks do it. So if we make a rock do it, what's that put us? We serve an awful mighty God. I'd like us to focus our attention this morning. This is my 25th anniversary sermon, by the way, because I didn't get to preach last week. And this has been weighing in my heart for some time, and I wanted to share this. A couple of the weeks before, I kind of gave a precursor to it, and some of the messages about the Word and why we believe the Word. We are here today primarily because a sovereign, faithful God is in control of the universe. That's why we're here. Notwithstanding the good work of people before and people now, we are here because our God is faithful. That's why we're here. And sometimes we look at the work and the workers and think, you know, how grateful we are, and we should be grateful for those who put efforts in and are faithful to the service and ministry, and we need to recognize them. But let's not lose sight of the fact that it really isn't us, it's God who is faithful. It's God who is in control. So I'd like you, if you will, to join with me today to look at some passages of Scripture. And I'm going to try to set up some milestones, or maybe a better way to put it, I want to stack up some rocks. What I mean by that is taken from Joshua. You don't have to turn there. You'll remember the story. Moses had died. Joshua was a new commander-in-chief. He didn't have the Red Sea, but he had the Jordan River to cross. God gave him direction on how to cross it. Take the Ark of the Covenant, step into the water. God would push the water aside, and they would walk across. If you read the passage of Scripture, like most people who are followers of God, it said they hurried across. Because if we were in the middle of any kind of water on either side, we would not dally. We would hurry across. Joshua had picked out 12 men, one from each tribe, and said, pick up a rock. Bring it with you. When we get done with this, we'll stack the rocks. That seems kind of a silly thing to do. Why pick up rocks? They're not going to plow that section. They're not going to use it for harvest or anything. They picked up these rocks and took these 12 rocks and stacked them together, one on top of another. And Joshua said, these are here so that you can answer a question of your children. Because when your children come by and look at the rocks, they'll say, why are those rocks there? And you can say, our God brought us over this place. So I want to stack up some rocks this morning. I thought about getting 12 volunteers, but I thought that might be kind of weird, so I chose not to. But if you would have volunteered, let me know, and next time I do that, I'll ask you to volunteer. There's a great passage of Scripture, and I want to look at a number of things about God's faithfulness. And the thing that I want to point out first of all is that it's one of those words used in Scripture to describe God without the word is or like. Because it's not as that God is faithful, it's just he's faithful. Faithful. It's even his name. It's so uniquely him, so much of who he is. Now, we look at faithfulness, and faithfulness is pretty important to all of us. We like to have people we can trust and count on. Faithfulness of God. And it certainly is something that is a part of who we are and our praise. The psalmist makes the point. Great, great verse of Scripture. He says that I have not hidden these things. I have declared what? I have declared your faithfulness. I have shouted them out. This needs to be the theme of our song, the theme of our life. The faithfulness of God. If we start tooting our own horn, Guess what happens? It becomes hollow pretty soon. Because sometimes we'll hit a bad note. Aren't you glad when you toot the faithfulness of God, there's never a bad note? He never fails, never comes up short, never does wrong, but the faithfulness of God. And so I'm grateful that it's a part of our theme. So with that in mind, I want to talk about a few things. And the first one is God's choice. Now, I do not understand it. I cannot tell you. I have a theological answer for this question. I have studied these issues on many occasions over the last 40 years. Why God chose me for salvation escapes me entirely. I don't know. Why he chose you escapes me even more. Why did God choose us? You know why? Because he's faithful. Look at the verse. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship. God faithfully chose us. It was his choice. And what's great about his choice, Paul says in Romans chapter 11, that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. If God brought you into his kingdom, nothing can take you out of the kingdom. You can't even get out yourself. You're in. Why? Because a faithful God is the one who made the call. We praise him today for his faithfulness. Our security in Christ is not based upon our ability to perform or to continue. Our security in Christ is based upon the faithfulness of God, who causes us to persevere. God is faithful. He's chosen us. I think of that verse of Scripture that we are this chosen generation, a peculiar people, he says. God reached down and picked us up for whatever reason, resting in his own faithfulness. Because God will not deny himself. God does what is right at the right time and in the right way. And God, in his sovereign grace, chose us in him. Praise God for his faithfulness. And it's because of him. And so, therefore, whenever I begin to feel sorry for myself, how many have ever felt sorry for yourself? How many have ever looked at life and said, boy, things aren't as well as good as they could be? You ever do that? If I feel sorry for myself, or I find myself in a situation that I don't like my life, I don't want God, I have to remember that God, in his sovereign grace and by his sovereign faith, has chosen me in him to be an heir of salvation. I'm a child of God. I've got heaven to look forward to. That should pick us up just slightly, don't you think? If it was in a Baptist church, people would say amen or something right now. It'd be really interesting. God's faithfulness is our hope. Great verse of Scripture. The psalmist says, your faithfulness endures to how long? To where? All generations. How much is all? It continues. And it's all the time. I know that there is a hope for me, and I know there's a hope for you. I know there's a hope for the world. I know there's a hope for the church. Because of men? No. Because of programs? No. Because of innovative ways to do things? No. Because there's a sovereign God who's in control of the future. That's why. And so when I look at life and I can't see a way out, or everything looks bleak and despairing and discouraging, and I think, boy, what are we going to do now? I know this, that there's a God who's already there. He's already in the future. And he has my future in his hands. What does God have for the future for Spencer Road Bible Church? I don't know. But I know this, it's the best thing. What does God have for you? I don't know. But I know that there's a God that I have hope in. And that causes me to have praise and glory to him. Over and over again in the Old Testament, you'll see the prophets repeat over and over again these messages to Israel that says, one day God's going to take care of this. And the theme over and over again with the Old Testament prophets was to say to Israel, I know that life looks bleak right now, but you can have faith because there's a God of hope. And we have faith in a God of hope, and his faithfulness is based upon, or our hope is based upon his faithfulness. God is a God of hope. Thirdly, why do you pray? Why does anybody pray? Is it an exercise? Does it make you feel better? I mean, what is it about prayer? We pray. There's a great verse in this Psalm 143 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication, and in faithfulness answer me, and in your righteousness." Now notice that we pray, and again, prayer is so misunderstood, because prayer for most Christians today is, I pray to get X, and I expect God to give me X when I want it. Rather than prayer is faithfulness, and we say to God, God, in your faithfulness, give me what is right. And prayer is that great opportunity for us to submit ourselves to the great, unwavering plan of an awesome God. And you be faithful to do what's right. You be faithful to make things happen. And so we pray because we have faith in this God. There's an interesting verse of Scripture. In fact, you'll remember, maybe you probably won't remember, but I taught Hebrews many years ago here. But one of those passages we talked about in Hebrews is that Jesus Christ was the great high priest. And as he identifies Christ as the high priest, he says he is the faithful high priest. Faithful. He is faithful in all his house. And then he says in chapter 4, that's in chapter 3, in chapter 4 he says, we go to the throne of grace. Do you know why we go to the throne of grace? Because there's mercy there. Why? Because there's a faithful God at the throne of grace. If you're waiting until you're worthy to get something from God, you have an awful long wait. You'll never be worthy, ever, of the grace of God. Otherwise, it's no longer the grace of God. Now it's become debt. We go to the throne of grace because we believe there's a God on the other side of that throne of grace who answers our prayers based on his faithfulness. If he answered our prayers based on our faithfulness, what kind of answer would we get? He is faithful. And we pray. And so when I'm tempted to give in to temptation, or I roll up in some ball of depression, discouragement, despondency, I'll remember to pray to the great faithful high priest. We as a church, and we as individuals, and we as a family need to gather together to pray. Pray. Do you know how hard it is to get Christians to gather to pray? Pulling teeth is easy in comparison. You gather to pray. And if you pray for more than 5 minutes, people start looking at their watches. God wants us to pray. Next. I love this part of Christianity. I really do. This is a great verse of Scripture. You know the verse of Scripture, but it's in Lamentations. It says, "Through the Lord's mercy we're not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Those ring a bell to you? "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him." Who wants to start over again? Well, I don't want to try this over again personally, but wouldn't you like sometimes you look and say, wow, this wasn't a good day. How many have ever had a bad day? Anybody ever have a bad day? Have one? You look at it and say, man, what a rotten day this was. And then when you look back over and assess it, how many have ever discovered that sometimes the rottenness of it is based upon the rottenness of your own sinfulness? You ever notice that? And that the failure of it, and you look back and go, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Aren't you glad that there's a tomorrow? And that his mercies and his compassions and his forgiveness and his faithfulness and his power and his anointing and his enablement is available tomorrow just like it is today. There's never a busy signal. Now, we got cell phones today. Don't you just love cell phones? I mean, hate them. I mean, availability can get you at any time. And some people, for some odd reason, think they have a right to not answer it. I don't understand that. And they have that thing that goes, it goes immediately the voice. How many love it when it goes immediately the voicemail? What does that tell you? Immediately, it doesn't wait, it doesn't go through four rings. It immediately goes to voicemail. It says, you are of no consequence to me. What you have to say isn't important. So you're going to go to voicemail. And you'll be lucky if I listen to it. And then doubly lucky if I happen to answer it back, right? Voicemail. Our God is so faithful that it never goes to voicemail. And his mercies and compassions are new every single morning. And do we need his mercy and compassion every single morning? As a church, we don't need new programs. We need the empowerment of a God of compassion and mercy. A trust in the faithfulness of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. They're new every morning. So therefore, whenever I find myself at my wit's end or facing this certain defeat and the bitterness of soul, I'll remember. I can rise in the morning and his mercies will be there. This faithfulness of God is unchanging. This is the thing that's about God that's sometimes hard to grab a hold of. We look at ourselves and we would hope we would see some development and growth in us. That's the hope. We would hope that we'd grow in grace. God doesn't have to grow. Because God is perfect, therefore he can be immutable. You and I, if we are unchanging, that would not be a good thing. Because we'd be stuck in the rut that we're in. But if you're perfect, what needs to change? Our God's faithfulness is unchanging. Now, how important is it that his faithfulness is unchanging? Timothy says, he remains faithful even when what? Even when we don't. Can you imagine if God pulled away anything from us the minute we became unfaithful? What would happen? We would be in real trouble. His faithfulness is not controlled by our response. Because he is the unchanging, unwavering, faithful God. No matter what happens. And sometimes that's hard to believe in when we face difficulties and trials and hardships. We find ourselves in these horrible situations. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, he says to those in Rome, he says, the unfaithfulness of the Jews changes nothing about the character of God. God's character stands true. Do you think because somebody who's an expert decides there's no God, that God all of a sudden becomes unfaithful to himself? Do you think somehow that when we fail and fail to maintain our own loyalty or commitment to Christ, that somehow he changes? God is the only person in the entire universe ever before or after or since or even in the eternal future that is totally, completely self-determinant. The only one. And he is constantly, ever true and never changes. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has taken you except this common to man, but God is what? What is he faithful to do? He's faithful to not allow you to be tempted above what we're able. Is that what it says? Why is it that we're not tempted above our ability? Because God is faithful. You think God is up in heaven, and he's scurrying around, and he's watching. He goes, oh, no, Joe was tempted above his head. I wasn't watching Joe. I was watching Rod, and I got my eyes up. You think somehow that happens in heaven? You think God's ever caught off guard? I've read books in theology, and occasionally they'll talk about God's plan B. God doesn't have a plan B. He has a plan A, and that's all it is. It's one plan. And our lives are under the scrutiny and power of an almighty God. And because he's faithful to us, he will never allow us to be tempted above our ability. Never allow us to be tempted above our ability. Think about that. Never. Well, we're failing an awful lot if we get tempted above. never tempt above our ability. What do you suppose is the problem? Read the next part. What's it say? What will he provide? A way of escape. How many have ever found the door locked on that way of escape? From the inside. Right? Because sometimes we don't want the way of escape. We don't choose that way. You say, well, I can't go that way because I won't be happy if I go that way. So what? We don't find our way to get through temptation because we're not relying upon the faithfulness of God who always provides a way out. Does anybody know how to stop an argument? One of you have to shut up. That stopped it. Now, it didn't fix the problem, but what did it do? It stopped the argument. I'm amazed about people that they just won't find the way out. They won't choose the escape that God has given them. Because God always provides a way of escape. Why? Because God is faithful. And so I want to find that. And so whenever I'm faced with temptation, I want to remember that it's a faithful God, that it had to come through his hands first before it came to me. And that in that temptation, there'll be a way to get out of it. Temptation. Also, God's faithfulness is my sanctification. What do you want to become? Be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. The God of peace, let him sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body preserve blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he who calls us is faithful, who will also do it. Were you saved by works, or are you saved by faith in the Spirit? By the Spirit. So therefore, how are you sanctified? Are you sanctified by works or sanctified by the Spirit? How much holiness do you have on your own? You're going to have a hard time finding any holiness in you. But who dwells in us? The Holy Spirit. If there's going to be any holiness, who's going to have to do it? It's not going to be us. We can walk lives on a course toward sanctification because there's a holy God who faithfully is in us and working in us. And Paul said this, that he who began a good work in you will perform it. So what's God doing in you right now? Right now, this moment, in your life, God is working. I'm always amazed about Christians who get together and say, I think God was telling me something. Since when isn't God telling you something? I think God was working in this situation. And I don't know why they want to identify one situation as God's working and another is not, as if somehow God didn't have control of that situation. God's in control of all of them. All. And sometimes those experiences of life aren't necessarily very pleasant. But we do know this, that it's going through the hands of a faithful God who faithfully will perform the work in us to bring us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, because God Almighty is faithful to the work he has begun. And he won't quit. I mean, there are times I want to quit, right? I've ever wanted to quit on somebody. Why do people who are teenagers want them to move out? Tired of the battles and the fights. But God is in the business of sanctification. Therefore, when I get tired of this battle with my own sinfulness, I'll remember that he started this work and he will continue it. And I want to rely upon his faithfulness in this work that he's begun in me. The power to serve. We know the verse of Scripture, Philippians 4:13. Let's read it. I can do all things through Christ. All right, I want you to do that again, please, with some vigor and enthusiasm. Ready? I can do all things through Christ. So why do you come to my office and say you can't? Have you ever said I can't? How many have ever said you can't? You ever say it? Sure. How many have ever lived with a person who's difficult to live with? Everyone raise your hand. Wives, be what? Submissive. Do you always find that easy? I mean, I don't know your husbands that well, but what I'm looking at, that's not an easy thing. Husbands, what? Right. I've heard people more than once over the years say, I just can't do that. Wait a minute. What's that verse say? I can do all things. Why? Because God is what? Faithful. If your ability to do something was based upon your ability to do something, you would never do anything. But if your faithfulness and your ability to do something is based upon His faithfulness, what can you do? I can do all things. What things? All the things that your faithful God has allowed you to experience. Of it. Do you think somehow, and I've heard people say this, I've had married couples come and they say, I think I made a mistake. I mean, you know how many times I've heard that? I made a mistake, I shouldn't have married him. And what are you going to say then? Too bad? Suck it up? Get over it? I mean, what do you say to a person? You say, well, you may have made a mistake, but guess what? God didn't make a mistake. And you know what? Get used to the fact God uses our continued mistake to bring about His glorious will. If I hadn't made the mistake, that's why I got to get rid of this guy, because I made a mistake years ago and I, oh, that makes sense. Make another mistake. That's smart. Because they don't recognize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because it's He who is faithful and not us. He is. We can serve. So when I'm tempted to quit the work that I have, whether it's to quit in my home or quit with the children or quit my job or whatever it is, I will say no. I'm not going to say no. I'm going to say yes. Apostle Paul says we are, it's not yes and no in Christ. It's yes in Christ. We can serve Him. Next. Protection from evil. Great verse, Paul says. But the Lord is what? Faithful. He will establish you, and what else will He do? Who's He guarding us from? Oh, I love pastors who get up and talk about the evil in the world. Why in the world worry about the evil in the world? I got more problems with the evil in me than I have with the evil in the world. I know it's evil out there. But guess what? I'm not worried about that evil. You know why? Because greater is He who is in us than he that's in the world. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevent the church. In other words, the church is charging into the gates. I heard one person say many, many years ago, I must have been 19 or 20 when I heard it, he says, we need to have enough enthusiasm about the kingdom of God that we're willing to charge into hell with a squirt gun. Never forget that phrase. I thought, that says it. God's faithfulness gives us the ability to serve Him. It's God's faithfulness that protects us from the evil that's in the world. We think so often with our children, we're going to protect them from evil and keep them from damage and keep them from the bad that's out there. And I certainly understand that there's a process of that, that we're supposed to protect our kids to the best of our abilities and ourselves from sin and so forth. But thank God that it does not rest with us, but it rests with a sovereign, faithful God. He is faithful. God's faithfulness is available to do what? The impossible. Aren't you glad that you have a God who specializes in the impossible? Now, we say impossible, but do you think God ever looks and says, wow, that's a big problem? I mean, so often we talk about prayer and we say, well, we can pray about, getting some more food, but man, you can't pray about this because that's awful big, as if somehow God is really taken back with by the big problems. God is capable of doing anything. Nothing God can't do. Can God get us through problems? Sure. Can God get us through difficulties, physical, emotional? Sure. Can God get us through trials and crisis, disease? Of course. It says in Hebrews, when it spoke of Sarah, it says that Sarah, I don't know if I put it up here, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Why? Now, how old was she? She's 90. 90. Have you got a hold of 90 yet? I mean, 90 ain't young, right? No offense. All right. 90 is getting up there. And if I'm not mistaken, that's a little past your prime, right? How did she get through that? How did she do that? She did, yeah, that's part of what she did. She laughed. She considered him faithful. Do you see that? It says she considered him faithful, judged him faithful who made the promise. How do we do the impossible? Now, I guarantee you, everyone's going to face what looks to be impossible. Everybody does. We can face the impossible because our God is faithful to get us through this and do extraordinary things with ordinary people who believe in an extraordinary God. Because God's faithful. God is. He can do the impossible. Last. I think it's last. Endurance or hardship? If you're going through a hard time, read 1 Peter. 1 Peter will put a twist on your perspective. Because 1 Peter tells you this is how you do it. And one of the things it says in that passage of Scripture is that sometimes we suffer. Now, it says there, we suffer according to will of God. You mean it's the will of God that sometimes you suffer? Yep. Sure. Absolutely. In fact, I'd say that further, anything you go through your life is part of the will of God. You're going through it. It was His plan. We suffer. It says, we suffer according to the will of God. We commit our souls to Him in doing good. We do good in spite of our suffering. Why? Because we're committing our souls to who? A faithful Creator. We endure hardships. If our body is racked with pain, or going through emotional crisis, or whatever it might be, enemies rise up against us publicly or secretly, we do what James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. Jesus said it this way, or the author of Hebrews says this about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. We endure because our God is faithful. That's why we endure. Because we count the God who put us through this to be faithful. Because it may be that if we go through times that are tough, others might abandon us or get tired of us. Because sometimes when we're going through hard times, it becomes the theme of our conversation, doesn't it? We come to church and people say, how you doing? Well, if you're doing bad and every week you tell them, what do you notice? People stop asking. Because, wow, that's heavy. That's too much. Sometimes people start telling you and you say, well, how you doing? And they proceed to tell you and you can tell by the look on their face, they're really saying, that's not really what I meant. I didn't really want to know that much. Aren't you glad that we have a faithful God we can commit our souls to, that no matter what's happening and who's with us or who's against us, our God will never leave us or forsake us. His faithfulness gets us through the hardships. Last point. If we confess our sins, he is tolerant, understanding. Now, these words we use when people make mistakes. What is he? Faithful. To what? Us? I've talked to people about this. I don't know if I can go to God and ask forgiveness again. Why? You think God doesn't know that you're capable of doing wrong? You think God is surprised? Oh no, he did it again. We go to God to ask forgiveness because we are unfaithful. Our unfaithfulness is not the condition of forgiveness. His faithfulness is the condition for forgiveness. And how often is God faithful to forgive? God always is faithful to forgive. If we confess our sins, right? Always. How many of us need this? I've talked to people who say, well, you know, I confess once a month. I can't remember that many sins. I'd have to have a day timer just devoted to my sins. I'd have to find an iPod for sinners. I have to do this all the time. Plus, I don't want to sit on it that long. How about you? I mean, a person who can sit on it all month long and then come at the end of the month, he's not keeping good track. Or he doesn't recognize. We confess our sins. So when I find myself on my knees before him and I fall into this sin, I'll remember that his forgiveness is based upon my, not on my faithfulness, but on his faithfulness. That being said, God is faithful. Because God is faithful, who'd he choose? Chose us. He chose me. Because God is faithful, where's my hope? It's in him. It's not in you. Person comes and says, well, what do you think about Spencer Bible Church? Do you think they're going to do okay? I don't know. But I know someone's going to do okay. You know who it is? God's going to do okay. Whatever he wants to do with Spenceport, guess what? I'm all for it. How about you? Whatever God wants to do. His faithfulness is the reason I pray. I pray because I got a God who is faithful and always faithful and always faithful to hear, always faithful to give, always faithful to do what's right. His faithfulness is the reason why I can get up every morning and say his mercies are new every morning. Today I can get up and his grace and compassion will be there today just like they were yesterday. He doesn't look and says, well, you failed yesterday. I'm not going to fool with you today. God never loses patience. Isn't that amazing? Look at the 3 years he spent with those disciples. What would you have done if you were Christ and those were your disciples? How long would you fool with them, right? He is faithful, therefore he never changes. He doesn't have to because he's perfect. There's no change in him. He doesn't change his attitude toward you. God never gets up on the wrong side of the bed. You understand that? His character is always the same. It never, never changes. Never. Because he is faithful, he provides us a way of escape. We just have to find it and use it. Because God is faithful, I can become sanctified. I can become holy. I can work toward those goals. If not for him, I would never be able to do that. I can serve him. He protects me from evil. He gives me courage to do what appears to be impossible for me. And it is. But it's not for him. His faithfulness gives me courage and grace to go through hardships and provides forgiveness. So I wrote this in my prayer. I rejoice in my God's choice to save me and call me into his kingdom. I will look with hope to the future as I pray for his new mercies daily. I will seek his unchanging grace for my escape from sin and my path to true holiness. I will seek to serve him in the midst of this evil world, finding courage and endurance for the road he has planned for me. When I fail, I will flee to his faithful forgiveness. May God's faithfulness be my banner and song forever. Amen? Amen. Do me a favor. We've never done this before. I'm going to ask you to stand. I want us to join hands. I don't know how to do this. but we're going to try. And that means both aisles have to connect somehow here. And I know that the sheep and goats don't like this, but we got to make this work. Les, come over this way a little bit. Make a connection. Good. Everyone connected? Everyone get connected. We want everyone connected. Okay? Will you read the prayer with me? Go.
I will. Call me into his kingdom. I will look with hope to the future as I pray for his new mercies daily. I will seek his unchanging grace for my escape from sin and my path to true holiness. I will seek to serve him in the midst of this evil world, finding courage and endurance for the road he has planned for me. When I fail, I will flee to his faithful forgiveness.
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, what a great God you are. Help our focus to be on you, that you are the holy God, faithful forever, never erring, never changing, always with us. Never leave us, never forsake us, always. God, help our focus for the future, our joy of the past, and our pleasure for the present be based upon the faithfulness of our God. We are grateful for people that you have used, but mostly, God, we're grateful for the God who is faithful to us as a people, as a church. And all these people give praise and glory and honor to our faithful and true High Priest, Jesus Christ. Everyone said, Amen. Amen. Amen.